What's up, guys? This is Sholo Maridueña, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai.
This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk.
And you're listening to The Comic Syndicate.
Woo!
Welcome to The Comic Syndicate, episode 253. I'm Josiah Sett for The Villain on Twitter, at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys. Last week's going to be hard to fucking top. That's what it is, straight up. I'm going to talk about that in bullet points, but let's start it the way we normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 153, we entitled hashtag, ooh, I forgot about this one, Baby Monkey Hippo. So we hit Mem Debriner and at For the Villain play catch up, and then hit Twitter love and shout outs, then go into what the fuck news. Virginia mayor arrested in meth for sex bust. We hit Jesus shit list at the time. Mom gets 40 years in prison for death of girl found in fridge. Right. And take on a way intriguing article. So we actually hit science talk this one too. U.S. may fund research to create mixed human-animal embryos. So hence why the whole baby monkey hippo. I don't know why we associated those, but that's what we went to. We hit Comic Talk, Comic News, Suicide Squad opening, Cartoon Network, Justice League action, Man of Steel sequel still in talks, which by now, look at it this way, 2 years constitutes to 100 episodes ago. So 2 years ago, we had Henry Cavill, he's off, Ben Affleck's off as Batman, Shazam just dropped, so much has changed, and we're going to talk about that in Comic News. And just Comic Talk, I guess. We hit Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, crossover, Star Wars live action series, still a possibility, which we know by now. Disney Plus, The Mandalorian is going to be a show on there. And Jon Favreau was actually the director for that, which is pretty dope. We hit Comic Review, Suicide Squad Rebirth number one, Transformers Titans Return one shot, Harley Quinn Rebirth number one, which is hashtag shitty book of the week, and I believe that was shitty book of the year as well for me, because I had to destroy how bad Harley Quinn is being written right now, and she's not the Harley Quinn, the HQ we know from the Batman the Animated Series. This is just like, anyways, go back to listen to how I feel about that. We hit Kingpin, Civil War, number two, Uncanny X-Men number 11, and East of West number 28. All right, guys. Writing off of this high from last week still, 2 weeks ago, I guess, but the actual episode I put up as far as the Cobra Kai interview, lots of great feedback, and a lot of people were latching onto that, and a lot of people are liking it, and a lot of people were just enjoying that show, which I'm glad people are, and it's always hard to top yourself, so I kind of walked into this episode like, well, fuck me. I don't have anyone to interview. So you got to wing it and do what you do. They're not always going to be that good. And we're not always going to have that content. I'm not going to always have that content. This is going to be a short show. I know I normally say it's a short show and I go like 45 minutes. This should probably be like a half hour show. So I'm going to help you out on your commute to work, to the office, to pick up your kids. If you're listening with your kids, you're a terrible parent, first of all. First off, bullet points I'm going to hit is Summer Movie Draft 2019 is this weekend for me. So by the time I drop this episode, I'm recording on, 4/10, so Wednesday 4/10. And I just literally dropped a companion piece podcast to the Cobra Kai interviews, which is a Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast. And that's episode 252.1, which we entitled hashtag Inside the Dojo. So I'm trying to figure out where to drop this best. And it's weird the way I record because I have so much stuff banked up. And it's like, okay, I got to fit this into this weird puzzle, you know, these puzzle pieces, like, okay, let me plug this in here, let me plug this in there, like, where is it going to sound better, plugging stuff in, and I'm just a weird, meticulous guy like that, that a lot of people don't see. Like, RG gets it, but he doesn't see it, but he really doesn't see the extra work that goes behind it, which I gotta come around to teach him. Anyways, going back to our summer movie draft, we have Anton and Alan from the 2OC podcast, my boy RG, like I just mentioned, from my co-host on the Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes podcast, our boy Carl, who's actually our supervisor, and he's a cool fucking cat. His daughter goes to these gigs. She's like 12 years old, I want to say. Our home girl, Rosalind from The Office, The Machine, and myself. We do this every year. I'm fucking jazzed as fuck for it. By the time you guys hear the next episode of the Comic Syndicate, I'm going to drop, okay, these are the scores. These are the movies I picked up. I've won about four. I don't want to give myself that much credit, but I've won at least three of them, and I'm the only, like, back-to-back champion. And I'm the one that's won the most of these. So it's kind of cool. It's weird. It's gnarly. But it's fun. And it's cool if you like movies and if you pay attention to numbers. It's just a cool fucking thing to do. All right. That's part of the bullet points. Next one I'm going to go into. WonderCon 2019. My backyard right here in Anaheim. Anaheim Convention Center. And let me tell you guys a story real quick. A lot of you guys that follow me on social media saw the picture of my knee that so many people hit me up on the side and on the side and on the side as far as, dude, are you okay? I got jumped by a bunch of stools is pretty much the best way to put it. I didn't get in a fight, so no one has to worry about me. I know I don't get to talk to everyone as much as I would like to. And there's a funny story I can tell, but I got jumped by fucking stools. That's it. I did it to myself. I mean, that's pretty much what it was. And I fucked up my knee and leg and ankle, both sides, and my heel, which is weird. So it looks gnarly. And I want to say, honestly, it's not as bad as it looks, but it probably is way worse than what it looks. So when that happened a week prior to WonderCon, I had that option. I'm limping day one, day two, and this is still at the office, not even WonderCon. This is WonderCon weekend. Like, if I get better at the office, then I can handle WonderCon. It was a bitch, guys, straight up. Walking around so much, I bailed on two interviews in particular for it, and it was the Justice League versus the Fatal Five animated, the DC animated, and it was a Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as well. So the voice actors, I was going to be interviewing both of these people, or all of these people for the most part. Walking around on a fucked up knee and leg and ankle, it was rough. It was an ass kicker. Like RG mentioned, he was beat, and he's 100%, and I'm definitely not 100%. I'm getting there. Guys, don't worry about me. I'm good. I'm fine. Like, I know what I can do. I know what my body can do. And I'm kind of weird and morbid that way. But just so much going on with emotionally beat and physically, literally beat, and then mentally wiped from the office. That, like, that's all it is. So if I can get through, I'm good. As long as one of my body parts is constantly working, I can get through it. So anyways, I've been on two interviews, and I was completely cool with it. Like, day one, Friday, my day ended. There was a panel for the Justice League versus Fatal Five. And it was at 7 o'clock. So you get to watch the movie. And then by like 9 o'clock, I had to interview these guys. I literally live a few blocks away, and I was over the day. Like, I was hurting. Like, I'm like, fuck, this is a long day. A lot of people don't realize how gnarly, how much of an ass kicker a convention can be. To do it for one day is not bad. To do it for 2 days, okay. To do it for 3 days, it's an ass kicker. And do it on a fucking straight up shot fucking leg was rough. So anyways, I'm completely cool bailing on these interviews. And not because I'm hurt, I'm tired, which I was hurt and fucking tired. But day two, I got to interview the cast of Cobra Kai with my boy Arjun, and Anton. Alan was with us. So to get that that interview was great, and I'm proud of that. So I'm proud that I was able to bring some sort of content for you guys, the listeners. And I hope you guys enjoyed them from the feedback that I've gotten. It's been great. So thank you. If you guys want to listen to that one, if you guys haven't, listen to episode 252, and it's going to be Cobra Kai interviews, and we just dropped Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes 252.1 companion podcast piece, which we've never done before. And that was fun to do, too. I put up a Twitter poll already today. So have fun with that one, guys, and share that one. It's going to be up for a week. And I got another one coming up. Anyways, so much news, so much to go through. All right, that's all I got for bullet points. All right, guys, give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrits, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, it's good to fucking be able to do that again. Ah, so many tools and toys to play with. You guys don't understand how many moving parts are actually in this that I have to deal with solo. So fuck me, right? All right, let's hit Comic Talk. First one we're going to hit is going to be Blumhouse's The Craft reboot finds a director. We're living in a world now where everything is going to get rebooted, unfortunately, and remade. And I don't know how I feel about it. I liked the original. It came out in, what, the late 90s? Early 2000-ish, I guess. It was a good movie. It could work, I guess. But I guess there were a lot more emo kids back then. I don't know if it's going to sell. But witches, there you go. TNT's Snowpiercer series adds Girl Meets World Star. Snowpiercer is a good, underrated movie that's completely under the radar that a lot of people don't know about. Chris Evans is in the movie, and it's based on a comic, honestly. It's based on a graphic novel. And it's a really good movie. If you guys can find it, it's worth checking out. Yeah, I'm not going to go too in-depth in that. This one was interesting just because I'm a huge fan. Transformers The Last Night isn't getting a direct sequel. So, the director for, I'm sorry, producer for Bumblebee, Lorenzo Di Bonaventura, debunks the idea that The Last Night will be getting a direct sequel. I'm actually kind of glad this is not going to happen because there was a rumor. Bumblebee did so well, so that's going to get a sequel, but they were going to do a sequel at the same time for The Last Night, and that was just terrible, so I'm kind of glad they're axing it if that's what they're going to go with. Anyways, next one's going to be Fox plans more sequels to popular movie franchises post-Disney merger. They have so many things now they can work with and relaunch, and like I just said, relaunch or remake and even make better. I mean, shit, they're kicking ass with the Marvel movies, and Marvel Studios is just an ass kicker. So, yeah, it's kind of good, and we'll see what happens, I guess, and see what develops. Next one's going to be Avengers Endgame directors are hired to relaunch also MGM projects. Super Brothers have teamed up with MGM to relaunch some of its most iconic titles under the AGBO Films label. Next piece of comic news is going to be Marvel Disney talk. Star Wars The Mandalorian reportedly already renewed for second season. I believe they're done with production, and again, Jon Favreau is the director. And yeah, they're just signing up so much for this Disney Plus that isn't even launched yet. And I'm going to go over through a few more things as far as what else they're going to add, because they already have a Scarlet Witch and Vision show planned and locked in. They have a Loki show. They have a Sam Wilson, So Falcon, and Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier show. Also, greenlit for the most part for Disney Plus. Again, hasn't launched yet, and it's kind of cool. Speaking of Disney Plus, still, two Marvel docuseries are planned for Disney Plus. So, two new Marvel docuseries, Marvel 616 and Marvel's Hero Project, have been announced for Disney Plus. The first series, Marvel 616, is an anthology program centered on Marvel's history, the intersection of its stories and characters, as well as the industry and audience. Told through the lens of a diverse group of filmmakers, each documentary will dive into rich historical, cultural, and societal context that has become inseparable from the stories of the Marvel Universe. Kind of cool. And this next one is kind of interesting as well, I think. Second one is Marvel's Hero Project, which is a kid-focused, unscripted series that reveals the remarkable positive change several young heroes are making in their own communities. Kind of cool. kind of down with that. Next one is going to be just more Marvel talk. Tickets went on sale for Endgame on Tuesday. Town 9th, I want to say, of last week. Fuck me, I should know what that is. Like I told RG, all my days are becoming jumbled again. And he's like, dude, you're back at it, right? You finally have to focus on what you normally do. And apparently I focus more on work, which is odd. So my days are getting jumbled up little by little again. But it's cool. I love doing it, so it's okay. Next one's going to be Captain Marvel Blast Pass, $1 billion worldwide. So Carol Danvers' debut film, Captain Marvel, went higher, further, faster, and beyond the $1 billion mark, joining several movie elites. And it passed Batman The Dark Knight, which I love the fuck out of that one, because Heath Ledger was so great as the Joker in that movie. Next piece of Marvel news is going to be Marvel's The Eternals adds Angelina Jolie in lead role. And here's a weird one. I don't know. I'm a huge fan, but I don't have the balls, the time to do it, the patience to do it, and my ass would probably be hurting from this. AMC Theaters announces a 59-hour Marvel movie marathon. All right. That's a lot of fucking movies. That's a lot of time in a movie theater. No, I'm just going to say no, straight up. If you guys do it, if any of you guys do it, hit me up. I'm very curious to see who has enough balls to do it. Again, I'll pass on that. Next is going to be DC talk. Batman will be Comic-Con Hall of Fame's first inductee. So DC revealed at WonderCon 2019 in Anaheim, across the street, that Batman will be the Comic-Con Hall of Fame's first inductee. The ceremony will take place at the 50th Annual Comic-Con International in San Diego on July 17th. We're in its press already, so we're going to be there. The fundraising event will feature props and memorabilia from the character's history in addition to appearances by artists, actors, and other creative teams involved with Batman's legacy. I'm fucking cool with that. Speaking of Batman, classic Batman films are returning to theaters in May. So next month, guys. The films will be screened in 4K on the following days. Batman, so Tim Burton, Batman, will air May 4th. Batman Returns, still Tim Burton, on May 6th. Batman Forever, and I believe that was, Wyatt Earp. Fuck me. Wyatt Earp. Iceman. Batman Forever on May 12th, and Batman and Robin, which was George Clooney by that time, on May 14th. Go to Fathom Events. It's a Fathom Events thing if you guys want to do that. I would honestly probably want to watch a Batman and Batman Returns cinematically in a theater again. Would just be fucking fun. All right, DC News, tell me you guys saw the Joker trailer that dropped. I love Joaquin Phoenix, and everyone keeps asking me on the side, like, it looks good, and it looks good. And honestly, it does look good, and I'm trying not to be cynical, and I'm really trying not to be cynical. I love Joaquin Phoenix. The Joker does not have a definitive origin story. Like, he just doesn't. He's one of those characters where he's been around for so long, but they haven't given him an origin. I don't want people to look at this movie and be like, oh, it all makes sense. That's why he's that way. This is a completely different take on the Joker that none of us have seen. So as far as me saying it's bad or I don't like the idea, it's not that. It's more people walking out saying like, oh, that's his origin. And it's like, no, he doesn't even have an origin. So if it's done properly, I just want to see a good Joker movie. If we see a man at his breaking point, if that's how this Joker is portrayed, as distraught or whatever, maniacal, like, show me that and give me heart. And, show me the Breaking Bad moment. And it might make sense. I would appreciate that more. But again, like, can they pull it off? I have no idea yet. And again, try not to be cynical. All right, I think that's what we have. Actually, last one's going to be comic news. One of my favorite writers, Jonathan Hickman, is back on Marvel. And he's going to be working on House of X number 1 and Powers of X number 1, which starts in July, which honestly is coming up around the corner. All right, guys, I promised you a short show, and that's what it's going to be. Only have one review. WonderCon was 2 weeks ago, and I've been working a lot, and any downtime I have has been just going to, I don't know. I try to keep busy, and I think people know where my time goes, what my time goes to, and I appreciate people that do know that, and not a lot of people know, like, fuck, you're always busy doing something, and you're busy working. The past month has been a clusterfuck of just every emotion. And just riding the wave of, like, the day-to-day emotion of everything. And then jacking up my knee. It's like, okay, well, I'm feeling this emotional pain already. Like, okay, it's good. I feel my leg is fucked up. So I don't have to focus necessarily my emotions in a certain place, which is weird. And I know it's going to hit me. I stopped listening to music because I didn't want to feel anything. And that was... Barely started listening to music last week, honestly. And I love the fuck out of music, and I need music in my life. And I went dark on music, like dark, like off the grid. I didn't want to feel. So just focused everything else where I could, and listened to more podcasts. And it's like, okay, cool. Listening to new podcasts, and just trying to stay anything... away from anything music, which is weird. So I'm trying to toss on DVDs, and it's like, okay, wow, this sucks. Anyways, whatever I did, nothing bad. So the knee was the physical part, the mentally drained from the office and the second job, kind of. And they've been great. Both jobs have been great as far as, like, he needs time. Like, he's got a lot of shit on his plate. And RG is dope. Like, he understands. Like, he's like, and he busts my balls about it. He's like, dude, you've had a fucked up month. So for him to finally sit down with me and for us to record, he said something funny. He's like, well, we're both back to it. And he's like, you're back to your normal day, which is nothing but work. And as we're recording, I'm like, well, yeah. So anyways, everyone has been great. And everyone has been great reaching out and... I like to keep busy, and this is going to make sense. This particular review is dope, and I haven't had a lot of time to read or focus necessarily on myself, because it's like, okay, I can't feel this way or bring any emotions, feelings towards this interview, towards WonderCon, because it's just going to be bad content. It's going to be a bad interview. I don't want to bring that negative energy, I guess, to the table. So I had to be on my A game, and I kind of really had to pack everything away. So when I was finally able to read something, I'm like, this hurts. And it's weird because I had a bunch of reviews and great reviews, and it just doesn't make sense with the time as far as, like, it just doesn't make sense. And I don't want to tell you guys what they are because they're great. And it's something that I've been reviewing a lot. And I'm like, wow, this got really, really dark. And this one kind of did too. This is going to be a Marvel title. Man Without Fear number 5. Jed McKay is the artist. I'm sorry, writer. Danilo S. Bayruth is the... he's the artist. Andre Mosa is the inker. This one starts off with a panel of a broken Matt Murdock. So I've been reviewing these ones as well. And it's pretty much Matt Murdock... Before this title got started, it's just going to be a 5-issue arc, quick run, and his last arc in his Daredevil run, he was scrapping with Kingpin, and he made it out, and next day, he goes back to work, and he sees a kid, a young girl, about to get run over by a truck, and he pushes her out of the way, but he takes the full hit of the truck, hitting him, and it's way beautiful the way and fucked up the way this one's written, because they start off issue number 1 like telling you, like, dude, you've been doing this for so long, like, you're beat the fuck up, like, you've been a bag of just a walking mess for so long, this is finally the thing that's gonna take you out, because your scar tissue sucks, dude, you've had broken ribs for how long, your knee has been fucked up for how long, how the fuck have you been able to do this? And that's essentially what it is. He starts pushing away his friends, people that care about him, and it's fucked up to see on paper. And it's called The Man, or just Man Without Fear. Pull that up, 2019, Man Without Fear. And another underlining theme in this is there is this twisted, perverted, distorted-looking version of Daredevil in his original yellow and orange costume. And just fucking with him and taunting Matt when he's at his most vulnerable point. And it's fear behind it. And that's pretty much what it is. It looks like death, but it's fear. And him having to cope and deal with this fear. I had to premise that as before I go. Go into it before I go. Eyes closed, tears in his eyes. With the page broken off into panels, like with his face, with the main title. And so it's really beautiful because we see his face. He's crying. He's like in pain. And we see like his face, the panels are cut off, mad, and a piece of his cheek without fear. And this look on his face is just pain. And then, so once we get that first panel right off the bat, we once again see him in his physical therapy treatment. So he's trying to retrain himself to learn how to walk again. For the most part, he's in a wheelchair. I'm trapped in this prison, this haunted house of blood, bone, and scar. But pain is not the warden of this prison. No. No, it's fear. And then we get this twisted and this, again, distorted, perverted version of Daredevil taunting him. Again, he's always in his ear. And there's something that Matt's been saying the whole time. He's been pushing people away. He's pushing his friends away. He's like, and even his friends that care about him are like, dude, it's time. You've been at it for a long time. You don't have special abilities. I mean, he does, but it's like you're not a super powered like we are. Your radar senses are great, but like your body can only take so much. And it's his best friends, Jessica Jones telling him, Luke Cage telling him, Danny Rand, Iron Fist telling him, like, dude, give up the fucking job already. So that's fucking cool to see, and terrible to see. So now we see this fear in him. Now he's like, I can't go back to work. Like, I can't help people. Like, I feel helpless. And that's when you get this Daredevil behind him. You'll never do it. You're going to fall again. You're making it worse. And this is a weird back and forth between him and this fear. You're making it worse. And Matt's saying, pouring poison, sucking the heat from my heart. So I drown out fear's voice the only way I know how. I listen to the screaming of my body. As he says himself to himself out loud, what is pain for? And we get some beautiful pages. And throughout the title, this run, again, 5-issue arc, that's it, Man Without Fear. He keeps saying that, and we don't get it until this happens. And the story now jumps to Matt Murdock as a little kid now, when his accident first happened to him. And we see how distraught and traumatized he legit was, as he remembers that that's something his dad always used to ask him. So what's pain good for? So given the differences he wants for his son, now knowing the dad, knowing like his life is not going to be any easier for him. His dad tells him, you're going to be scared. You're going to hurt. And it's going to tell you what you need to know. Fear is always going to be there. You can't get rid of it, but you can control it. You don't think I get scared when I get into the ring? We handle fear. We do our job. We do what has to be done. And as this dialogue is going off, we get a page of what landed Matt here now in the hospital and in therapy and physical therapy. Him doing his job like any other day or any other time we would see him. Going through, again, the underlying theme between fear and pain as he falls down. And it's one of those rails where no one's helping him out. He's doing it by himself. And homeboy is in tears. And I can only imagine what it's like to have both legs fucked up. Anyways, that was a joke. And we see him. And we just see him fall down now. And he picks himself up. And he says, pain keeps us going. I'm not afraid to get hurt. I couldn't fight if I was. Once you get over being scared of pain, that's when you can use it. You take all that hurt and you make it your fuel. You let it drive you. Pain's nothing to be afraid of, so long as you know how to make it work for you. What is pain for? It keeps us going. And it's cool to see him as this is going down, as he's talking to himself. We see his physical therapy, him busting ass and getting better and working hard to get his body on point where he needs to be. And Matt Murdock, one day, I think it's Danny Rand, goes to visit him. Actually, no, it's Foggy Nelson at the end, goes to visit him. He's like, dude, let's go out to dinner, knock, knock. And he's like, fuck, window's open, like, shit. He did it again. He's back to work. So always weird that I read something that I kind of need at the time. And this happens to be one of those titles. It's a 5-issue arc. That's issue number 5. And it's when it ended, I want to say, the last month. But I haven't had time the past month to do anything fun or exciting for myself, really. And I'm not in a bad place. I'm not in a dark place, guys. Again, everyone that's hit me up, I love you guys. You guys are great. I've been with good people, and I'm listening to music, and I've cried, and some days hurt, and some days are okay. And it's okay to feel like that, and I know it's okay. But I'm the support system I have as far as friends and family. I love the fuck out of you guys, and I'm okay and talking about this. This is always my therapy session. So I hope you guys liked it. If you guys like the title, it's Man Without Fear, number 1 through 5, 2019. That's all I got. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and where you guys can find podcasts. Yeah, share the podcast if you guys can. Rate the podcast. Fuck it. Just share it and just tell people about it. And if they like pop culture, give us a shot. And hopefully I won't disappoint you. I'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Love you guys. Peace out.